Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. A respite from the baseball as we get ready for Game 6, but to look back at last night and look forward, Mark Simon joins us from ESPN.com, stats and information on the Draft House 50 hotline. Mark, good afternoon to you. How are things?
Good morning. Happy to talk to you. Looking forward to talking some baseball.
So you're on the East Coast, of course. So we're pushing, 145 by the time the game actually finishes. What time did the head finally hit the pillow for you last night?
About four local time, and then I was back up at 9 to do Buster Olney's baseball podcast, which was a fun chat, and got to talk some World Series there, too.
Well, a little bit of caffeine, and you're good to go. Well, as we go through Game 2, you know, some people are talking about one of the best World Series games ever. Then we come a couple days later in Game 5. Same people talking about the same kind of things. It's difficult, I think, sometimes to get a historical context. What we do know is it's been a lot of fun, and baseball certainly is getting some great baseball games over this World Series. Have you got into the, you know, breaking this down and where it goes in the baseball realm, or is that something maybe is easier to do after the series concludes?
I think you guys are going to be disappointed in me, because to me, those two games are good. They're pretty good. But, like, compared to the games in my childhood and, like, my young adulthood, I don't know that they compare. And I'm thinking of games like the two games at Yankee Stadium that were won in dramatic fashion with the rallies against Byung-Young Kim, Yankees and Diamondbacks. I'm thinking of something like Kirby Puckett's home run. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking certainly of Bill Buckner. I am thinking of 1985, Game 6 with the controversial call. I think my issue is I like my baseball to be a combination of home runs and manufactured runs and not so many strikeouts. So these games were pretty good, but I think the best of all time, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Just go back to last year, Game 7, and that to me was better than this, for sure. And I even go back to, if you want a great high-scoring game, although it was a little sloppy, if I remember right, the David Freese game was unbelievable, mm-hmm. with the triple a tie, yeah. and the homer to win. So I guess I would put these in the, like, if you're doing tiers, you have your top of the top tier, which is like Mazeroski and stuff like that. This is, like, to me, second tier, I guess lower end of the second tier, if that makes sense. I mean, it's still great. It's still baseball. It's still fantastic. I just think that the people that are saying that's the best ever are going a little too far.
Well, it's always, okay, yesterday was the best, so now how do we top this? You know how that goes.
Yes, exactly.
Reggie Jackson's three home runs.
Have to teach those people that that's not how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Reggie Jackson's three home runs. Bob Welch striking out Reggie.
Sure. That's your childhood, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's famous stuff here.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely. Catfish, Bob Welch striking out Reggie Jackson is outstanding. 69 Mets played some really great World Series games.
Yeah,
I think that in this day, in the Twitter day and age, that there's this rush to be the best ever immediately, as you just kind of said, and we need to encourage people. Like, baseball history can be fun. You've seen me do some of these stupid videos where I recite the last outs or whatever. We need to teach people that there's pretty good baseball if you go back just a little bit.
Mark Simon joining us here. ESPN stats and information. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. M. Simon ESPN is where you can find him. Always great info there. Mark, one thing away from the field a little bit. I want to get your take on Yuli Gurriel. He makes the racially insensitive gesture about Yu Darvish. Given a suspension of 5-gamer at the beginning of next year, I don't know. It just, with all the fun of the World Series, this one strikes as baseball getting it wrong. Where are you?
What did you wanted them to suspend him during the World Series?
Yes, absolutely. It happened during the World Series. You're
all
suspended
right, so
during the World Series.
This is going to sound kind of weak, but I'm fairly neutral on that idea. I understand the idea of punishment. I think he was very remorseful right from the start. Manfred's comments were a little odd, I guess. Yeah. So he didn't want to punish the other 24 guys. So I would say probably if I'm leaning somewhere, I'm probably leaning very slightly to taking him out of the World Series. But I don't know. That's a really hard one for me. And I do think that after the fact that he kind of did the best he could with it, and Darvish represented himself very well. Yes. And there was a really good story. I think it was Dylan Hernandez in one of the Los Angeles papers that applied some context to it. And yes, Gurriel was wrong. I'm wondering what the severity of the punishment should be, though. I don't know. That's one of those things where I'm terrible at decisions, so I'd make a terrible commissioner.
Hey, Mark, I think I also saw that the five games that he misses, the paycheck that he loses is going to be contributed to charitable groups that specialize in things like this. Am I correct on that? Do you remember
seeing
that?
Yeah, I think you saw that right. That makes sense. So something good comes out of it.
Yes, yeah, so that, at least that'll be good. Let's kind of get to then... The game itself was nuts. I mean, I thought when the Dodgers went up 4-0, I thought, oh man, they're going to roll here now. Yeah, they're going to roll. And then the Astros come on, and then they take the lead, and okay, Dodgers are cooked, and bang, here you go again. I just don't think I've ever seen as many late inning theatrics in the first, five games that we have played, late inning theatrics. Can you recall that?
Let's see, boy. Okay, so you got game two, game four, and game five, right? It's sort of similar to that 2001 World Series where you had four, five, and seven. It's just that the run scoring, I guess, wasn't as high. So, like, that to me is the closest comparable at this point. The thing that I think made yesterday possible is that ballpark. And I remember I was in that ballpark in 05, and I was in that ballpark one other time, and I was like, this thing is, like, ridiculous. Like, left field is, like, literally right on top of home plate. If you poke it out to left field, it's worse than Fenway. It's a home run. And I think you've seen that a little bit in the last three games, certainly games four and five. I mean, it happened in game two, too, but I think game six and seven will play a little more normal. I don't think you'll see the crazy scoring that you saw in, I could be wrong, but I don't think you'll see 13-12 in game six or game seven.
Well, and we're going to get, of course, Verlander on the side for the Astros, and that's going to change. You got to figure, you know, he's going to be good for, 120 pitches if need be.
Right.
What he threw, 79 the first time out, is that right?
Something like that. But the thing with game six and Verlander, if you look at everyone that Houston has used so far in relief and how awful they've all been, my guess is that game six is Verlander the distance or Verlander to McCullers for the win to try to close it out.
Gotcha.
And if McCullers can't do it, they go Charlie Morton in game seven and they live with him on 3 days rest with everybody available. But I feel like they have a good advantage there in that they know that if Verlander tires, they have a guy that closed out Game 7 of the ALCS sitting and waiting that could throw 40, 50 pitches probably without being terribly impacted and without it necessarily doing too much damage to their Game 7 chances. So I would give the Astros a edge in terms of, for once, it's actually better for A.J. Hinch that his bullpen options should basically be limited to one guy,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise he's just going to bring in pitcher after pitcher after pitcher who can't get anybody out at all.
Mark Simon is our guest, ESPN Stats and Info, on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Okay, as far as fun factor, and I'm a fun-loving guy, and I hate the so-called baseball unwritten rules. You can't show up the pitcher. You can't celebrate. You can't do this. You can't do that. Has that been thrown out the window? Because guys are like jumping up and down like crazy people just rounding first base.
Yeah, so I think that what that is that's also a product of the Twitter times. I think what we know, you have to just kind of chuck it at this point because people like emotion. People like demonstrable show of emotion. Just look at, I mean, look at the popularity of the NBA and the NFL. And it's, at least in most cases, I would say just about all cases, almost all cases, the emotion is, like, legitimate. Like, Carlos Correa running out of the dugout last night while the game's still going on and waving the runner home, that's pure emotion. Like, that to me was kind of fun. I do think that it, like, I used to be, like, very anti-bat flip. I'm now kind of much more neutral, I think, on that. I think there are people who think that, like, pitchers obviously think that it's ridiculous to be shown up like that, but the fans like it. It's a show of emotion. It's not necessarily intended to disparage the pitcher so much as celebrate the moment. And at this point, I guess for the sake of bringing in younger fans, I'm willing to live with it, so to speak.
All right, Mark, last thing for me. I'll let Jim finish up with you here. Back to the ridiculousness of game number five. Clayton Kershaw, you deal with stats. You deal more with the numbers than a lot of people do. And the narrative continues to be out there. 4-0 lead, gives it up. A 7-4 lead, gives it up that he is not a playoff pitcher. We hear that the sample size is too small. Well, the sample size continues to grow, and issues still continue to crop up. Where are you, Clayton Kershaw, as a postseason pitcher?
Boy, well, if you talked to me after game one, wouldn't you be saying, wow, he got over the hump, he had the definitive Clayton Kershaw start, he's awesome, he's the Cy Young guy, we're going to see like five of these in a row now? I was shocked by what happened last night. I think it's a combination of circumstances and maybe health, I think, more than anything else. Like, he's now laid probably four or five real eggs in the postseason, which, I guess in fairness, like, Andy Pettit did too, but he's supposed to be better than Andy Pettit, and you want to remember him as better than Andy Pettit. I think that maybe it's just that in this kind of setting, teams can isolate in on his weaknesses and wait them out. Like, his slider yesterday was terrible, which is very unusual for him. And I'm wondering if the Astros picked up on something or there was something with the baseball that messed them up. Overall, he's still an all-time great. It's a lot harder if he only had to make two postseason starts, like Bob Gibson had to make two or three postseason starts and then he's done, maybe he's better. Maybe the ERA comes down, and maybe we think a lot better of him, because he had three good ones in a row before, or three decent ones in a row at least, two and one great one, before this. So maybe it's the fault of the three-round system that causes his numbers to spike as high as they do.
All right, Mark, we won't get a chance to pick your brain tomorrow on this. So the question is, do we get a Game 7? Or not.
I picked Astros in six before the series started, so I say no.
Going with Verlander, getting it done in six. Yeah. And Mark, always appreciate the time. We will be watching tomorrow night, and we'll be watching for you over at ESPN.com, stats and information.
Cool. See you guys.
Mark Simon with us right there. Jimmy B, we are a day away from it, but it is right around the corner. In a way, I just want the baseball to continue. Yeah, we got the Broncos and the Chiefs tonight, and I'll be keeping an eye on that. But it has been so good, so compelling, so much fun. I don't want the baseball. Can't they make this best of 11, best of 13, best of 15? Just
wait
keep
a minute,
it going.
Wait a minute. I thought you were the guy who generally checks out of baseball once football begins, and I'm the guy who locks into baseball when we get into the playoffs. Look, I get this. This has been so much fun to watch. And just, we always talk about sports being the greatest reality show ever on TV. And that crowd, when the Dodgers went up 4-0, the crowd was dead. They were gone. They checked out of that game right then, Trent. And then all of a sudden, Stros start to get it going a little bit, and they start to come back in. And then Dodgers explode again, and the Stros fans check out. And then the next thing you know, the place is like a nutbag place. It's just great what we have a chance to watch. And that's that's why I think you and I love sports so much. You go from the highest highs to the lowest lows and then back to the highest highs again. It's the best that it could ever be. And this World Series is playing out perfectly for what A, fans like, B, what TV hopes for, because the ratings have been just unbelievable. The Major League Baseball game beat the hell out of the Sunday night football game last night. So, and with the TV ratings. So, from that standpoint, you know, TV execs right now, oh, God, please give us a Game 7. Please give us a Game 7. You can hear them right now.
Good stuff. Well, Jimmy B, we'll come back on the other side. I got Wolfgang stopping by, and then we'll, put a cap on things here as we'll take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football, we'll get a hit on that. Broncos and the Chiefs all coming up here as we take you to 6 o'clock tonight. Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG. Welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG, as we'll take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Welcome in right now our buddy Wolfgang as we go live to the Iowa Coaches Box in Kinnick Stadium. What do you got up there, Wolfgang?
It's interesting you started out here because I want to go here quick. This is fun. I don't get it. Okay, I don't understand. I love a guy with passion, and if you're on Twitter, if you're talking to your friends, I'm hearing everybody loving what he's doing. I love Kirk. Does it show a ton of passion? Will at points, will at moments. I love a dude that shows passion. He cursed. He yelled, right? So what do we actually know what Brian Ferentz did in the press box? If they're going to get that boogery over that, because you can do that down on the field, right, then give those replay guys a flag that they can throw, talk down to the guys on the field and say, hey, Brian Ferentz just called me a bleep sucker or whatever. You know what I mean? So 15-yard penalty, whatever. This is football. This isn't biology class. I'm not understanding it, and I love his passion. Again, I'm biased. I'm biased because I love the dude.
There's passion, and then there is calling people denigrating things. There is going over the line. And
now what? Now what? Because we read Kirk's lips, right? We read,
yes.
Kirk. Everybody loved Kirk. Did you read some of his lips? Have you read some of our coach's lips over the years? So why are we taking? Okay, you may know more than I do, so I will openly admit that.
There was talk of a homophobic slur. That's over the line.
Oh, I did hear talk of that. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I'd have to hear the word, I guess, maybe. Yeah, you don't want to go there. Obviously, you don't want to go there. So let's move on from that. I mean, if that's true, okay, I get that. But, I mean, because I'm reading guys that I respect that say, yeah, boy, I've never heard that before. You know, some of these guys, like, I think it was Mark Morehouse and who else? They didn't say he went like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but they were like, I've never heard really something like this before up here. And maybe that's just not where he needs to be. Maybe he needs to be down the field, mm-hmm. Trent.
I've been a long proponent of that. I think with his coaching style and the way that he is, I think he would be better on the field. They're going this route, but that's something that maybe needs to be reevaluated after this season and see if maybe having the eyes in the sky with Ken O'Keefe up there and him being down on the sidelines would make more sense. But you don't see this. You don't see this at this level. Yes, I've been in plenty of press boxes where you hear coaches, they're hollering things, but you also don't have the review booth next to them at a high school press box, you know, where you're next to them and you can go out there. And there's a lot of things out there that there's a line. And being fired up, hey, no problem at all with that. But there is a line. And from what I've read, you went over the line.
From what you've read. Okay, I respect a lot of these guys. A lot of them that have been on your show, or I've talked with a lot of them. So, I mean, if they say it went over the line, maybe they're just not used to it. I don't understand why you can't.
No, they are used to it, though.
Yell.
They are used to it. But there's a line, and he went over the line. Yeah, you
okay.
you can holler, you can be fired up, you can swear. I got no problem with that. But there's a line, and he went over the line.
Okay, I'm going to have to read more on it than you do. You obviously know more than I do. So if the line was crossed, it obviously was.
Yeah.
Because if Kirk Ferentz is going to come out and say something like that, because he brought it to everybody's attention before it was really out there, other than there were a few tweets about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I guess Kirk comes out and says that, I get it. I think it's a kind of like move along thing. The dude's got passion. He's young. It's a first-year OC, which is terrible to be. You're trying to put in your things, and I get it. I get it. But I got his back. I love the passion. If he did cross the line, I get that. I'm going to give him a mulligan on that one. But maybe he needs to be down on the field because he does have passion. And sometimes a lot of those players need to look the coaches in the eyes and see those guys with passion. I don't know who we've got on the sideline that would be Brian Ferentz. Ken O'Keefe isn't that guy. You don't want him being that guy. You don't want him being that guy with the quarterback. You want our quarterback, calm, cool, and Joe Montana-like. But, okay, I'll step back a second and maybe just learn more facts and talk to people that I know. But I love the passion. I love the passion, and obviously there is a line. I agree.
Well, we go from a boring, boring football game in a terrible environment inside of Kinnick Stadium.
Wait a second, Trent. You are never going to say beating P.J. Fleck is boring.
It was boring. I was there, Wolfgang. It was an awful environment. One of the worst night games I've ever been to. Sitting on the hands after the first possession, offensive ineptitude. Not to the coach's fault. This was just guys not executing. You know, people get annoyed by and the coaches coming, you got to execute, but that was the case. They were put in a position, and the players couldn't make the plays. It was a boring game. Not so boring, though very similar style, 14-7 up in Ames earlier in the day. Iowa State's ranked in the top 15 nationally.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Trent, obviously you did not get to watch this game out in the sports bar or something like that. It was really cool. Okay, if you're a fan of Iowa State, you and I, if you're a fan of Iowa teams, it was fun. It was one of those things I saw guys, dudes, with tears in their eyes after Iowa State beat TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I did last year with the Cubs. And we could sit there, oh, geez, you bunch of whips. This is just sports. Hey, a lot of times it's not just sports, Trent. These guys, and I think the stat was something to the effect of Iowa State is the worst program in the history of the world, the galaxy, in terms of playing ranked teams and their winning percentage. And they have now beaten Oklahoma and TCU. And I just exaggerated there a little bit, but I can't remember what the stat was. Was it against top 25 teams? Was it against top 10 teams? But Iowa State was literally the worst program in terms of that. Kind of stupid that I came on here without the actual fact, but you get where I'm going. Mm-hmm. They don't beat good teams that are ranked very often. Okay, I think I can say that. And to watch that, and I went out last night again to one of your sponsors and just talking with people. I was talking to a guy, and he's like, my work sucks, okay, I'm having trouble at home, you know, all this and that. But we just beat TCU. We've just beaten two top five teams, and everything is all good right now. When we lose, maybe everything won't be good, but, I mean, they're sweet Carolina. I mean, they're literally last night during the NFL football game, there was a Hawkeye fan. I guess he probably went up there and talked smack like we do. So they, eight of them, started singing Sweet Caroline to him. Did I find it embarrassing? Yeah. But I looked over and I saw their smiles and it was all good and it was all fun. These guys, Iowa State fans, are so happy right now and they deserve it. And it's a different kind of buzz, I think, Trent. When Iowa's been good for a long time, right? Hayden Fry, Kirk Ferentz now, top 10 finishes, you know, Big Ten championships. You had 2002, crazy buzz. You had Sansi's junior year. You had CJB's undefeated year. You had, there's another year I'm missing in there. Hey, Big Ten championship, crazy buzz, awesome buzz. But this is a different kind of buzz. I'm not saying it's better buzz, but it's a team that didn't expect to be two top five programs. And when you do that, Trent, and I was done that where we weren't expected to be good. Again, CJB's year. We didn't expect that with what we saw in the preseason. It's a different kind of fun, man. And the buzz is just so fun to be around. I don't know if you've gotten out talking to your Iowa State buddies. Have you had a chance to see just how happy they are? It's fun.
It is. Yeah, it really is. You're absolutely right. And the elation that's out there, and you're thinking big now. As a Cyclone fan, you're thinking big. You're thinking about, oh, man, they make Dallas. What are we going to do? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do that first Saturday in December? that game, the Big 12 championship game, what's next? All these things. And I remember the first time that I was going through this, as that 2002 season was playing out, and you get these ideas. Now, of course, the end destination felt like that year. It was going to be the Rose Bowl. We know that didn't turn out to be the case. And we had tickets all ready to Pasadena, and we had to figure out what we were going to do to flip them around. you had all these kind of things that were happening. But Iowa State fans are starting to get into that process now, and starting with the Big 12 championship game. I think it's so awesome to see for a program that the fan base has done what is asked for them. They bought the apparel. They bought the tickets. They've showed up. They've been there through some lean, lean times, and they continue to show up. And now the payoff is starting to happen. And you look forward to what this team is and what they have coming up and what could be next. They're just a good football team. And that was much like the 2002 Iowa team. They felt you could see, and nationally maybe they weren't getting the respect, but you could just see, hey, line up Ohio State. They didn't get to play the Buckeyes that year. I still believe they would have beat the Ohio State team that went on to win the national championship if they would have played the week after they beat Minnesota. I still believe that. And Iowa State fans, right now, they can have those same thoughts because they're good. They're a good football team that week in and week out find a way to win football games.
And I caught a ton of crap from this. I'm trying to think last week if you gave me crap because I first brought it up with you. Is Jamie Pollard a genius? I've got people coming at me, calling me just completely bad names, saying you're ridiculous. How stupid are you? But if you dig deep, if you look at it, the broader picture, if you look macro, 61.5 there now that they can get, the fans going crazy. He lowered ticket prices for football fans, right? We all made fun of those $99 ticket packages, right?
Yeah.
You know what he knew what he was doing. Because what happens when you go to games? And it's fun, and you're tailgating, and you're drinking, and having fun with friends. Just get people there. That's what Jamie Pollard did for a number of years. Now, it's not, if I'm going to the Iowa State football game, if I'm going, I'm getting season tickets. I think that's genius. I don't know why nobody gives him credit for that. Give credit to the Iowa State fan base. But there was a reason that they decided to start going in mass numbers to the games. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they got people in the building, got people, hey, we can make a football game, and we're not going to dedicate the time to go up to make the trip to Iowa City or whatever it may be, but you know what? We can make a 40-minute trip up there from Des Moines and do that a few times a season and get the people there and get them excited. And there's a lot of people I know that didn't grow up Iowa State fans, but go now. Go here from Central, go from the Des Moines Metro, that go because of what Jamie Pollard built. Absolutely.
You bring in Kale Sanderson. Okay, obviously didn't get it done. Stud coach hire, obviously. Now he's won three wrestling championships. You bring in Chizik. Well, he didn't do much at Iowa State, but then he goes on and wins. And I know you busted my you-know-what about him with Cam Newton. But you can say that about anybody. You can say that about John Wooden. You know what I mean, Trent? Mm-hmm. You can say, well, John Wooden had all these players. He had Kareem and he had Walton and had these third parties paying the players, from what I understand, if I ever read that book. But now he's got the guy that you said it. I'm giving you props. Matt Campbell, you said you were going to buy stock in this guy. This wasn't just this year. You said that a number of years ago. You had his back. You thought he was a good coach. He is a good coach. You got Prohm now. Who else am I forgetting? I mean, the guy knows what he's doing over there. I truly believe he, and then you forget Rhodes. Rhodes wasn't bad. He got him to what? Three bowl games? Everybody loved that guy for a while, and it petered out, right? It petered out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't understand why everybody's coming at me when I'm saying, genius, yeah, I'm using probably too strong a word. But Jamie Pollard, yo, I think that guy knows what he's doing, whether it's a coaching search or he's putting, it seems like he doesn't do the coaching search thing. He does it on his own. Am I right there?
Yeah, I believe you're right, absolutely. And
I appreciate that. That's the guy that knows stuff. And even his failure was Greg McDermott, man. He's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why people are coming at me when I'm saying Jamie Pollard is a genius. Let's just say he's good at his job. Maybe the genius thing was going over too far. I had a friend that I've known forever saying, dude, you've lost your mind.
Went a little too far, huh? Just a little too far?
He was not a fan of me saying that. He's a hardcore Hawkeye. Lives out in Eastern Iowa. You know none of them. none of your friends or none of your family out in East Iowa know a damn thing about Iowa State. It's fun here being in Central Iowa because we get to follow the Big 12 and the Big 10. We get to follow Iowa State. I talk to guys out in Eastern Iowa. They don't know a damn thing what I'm talking about when I start bringing up defense, offense, quarterback. You know, is their offensive line going to be good? It's just a different world over there in Eastern Iowa, Trent.
Different world, absolutely. It's a different world here, Wolfgang. Talking with Wolfgang Hawkeye with us. Wolfgang, let's finish up. Talk a little hoops. You were watching the game. I was calling a high school game, playoff edition, on Friday night, so I didn't get to see it. Hawkeyes down at the half to Bill Jewell. Come back and win it in the second half. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Billy Jewell, that was a little depressing. At the first half, I was like, please, somebody pray. I said pray for Fran McCaffrey, and I was like, no, pray for the players. Do you understand what they must be going through right now? It was fun. Again, we did a podcast on it, John Miller and I. At some point, you just got to understand this doesn't mean anything. We got to get going. You got to get amped. You got to play hard. Garza was very interesting. The one opinion I want to get to you, what I saw in the game, and you said you did not see it, Trent?
Correct, yep.
Okay, well, you can, by the way, go and rewatch it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can go to, it's the Big Ten to Go app. And I didn't think they had that back in the day where you were able to do that. You can now, so I may go back and watch that. But what we are going to see this year, Trent, and it was proven watching that first game, we are going to feed the post because mm-hmm. that's been one of my problems with Fran over the years. I've got a lot of problems with every coach I like. So it's not just Fran, it's every coach. I'm just like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I don't know everything. You know, I'd love it if I just knew some stud high school basketball coaches or college basketball coaches and watched the game with them. So where I could just say, I don't get this, man. Why don't you do this? And I've had that problem with Fran in the past in terms of the doctor. Why doesn't he do the Dr. Tom bounce pass into the post mm-hmm. and spread the court? You don't need to be Kevin McHale in order to get points off that. But we've got a guy in Garza. It looks like Fran really wants to feed that guy. And for the people that don't know, Garza's a four-star recruit center, can't jump a lick. But he's good in the post. He's got good moves left and right and hook and all this stuff. I truly believe that we are going to feed the post more this year than we have. I mean, and I went too far on the podcast. You know, I said, we're going to feed the post more this year than we have in the last 5 years combined. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, and I told him I was exaggerating. That's just how much I think we are going to see that trend with the post guys we have.
Well, that'll be good to see. And so you're liking Garza. You know, we saw him this summer, saw him in Europe, saw him in the PTL. Just a guy that seems to understand offense. And Jack Nungy, who really struggled this summer, I thought. You know, both in those times that we were able to see him, PTL and in Europe, didn't shoot it very well. And I think that's kind of a big part of his game. But tell us a little bit more. You know, initially it was a lot of people saying kind of like Utah, but sounds like maybe he can do a little bit more inside, at least at this point in his career.
Well, he was. He got 16 points. He was 6 of 6, 3 of 3 from three-point line. That ain't good for a 6'11 guy with a wingspan where he can touch the moon. Is that any good?
That'll work.
I did not like you. I don't know if we talked about it or we just have the same opinion. I didn't think he was maybe going to see a ton of time after that overseas trip because we only saw one game on the internet, right, Trent?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just looked at stats. And his stats weren't really that great.
Right.
And as we're doing this minute stuff, as you and I do these podcasts or these the radio show where we're trying to find out who's going to gain minutes, who's going to lose minutes, I thought maybe his minutes were going to go down. But now I don't think that. If we play him at the three and he's guarding guys, I mean, he's going to block shot after shot. I don't even know. I mean, I am so confused on this team and what to do. One question I wanted to ask you that I asked John Miller, and we talked a little about it. I'm kind of glad Christian Williams is gone because I like Connor McCaffrey. Do you believe, and John kind of answered me, not really. Do you believe we are better off with Christian Williams going bye-bye and Connor McCaffrey, if he is going to, which is he has to, take off his red shirt, burn his red shirt, are we better off with Connor McCaffrey playing than Christian Williams? Did we just get better, Trent, on it?
Yes, there's not a doubt in my mind. There is not a doubt. Christian Williams is not a point guard. McCaffrey is. I absolutely, positively agree with that statement, Wolfgang. And, well, to help. Every little bit helps, and maybe this will be enough to push him over and get Jerry Palm to say they're at least a bubble team.
He doesn't even have a bubble team.
Probably not.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Wolfgang, we are out of time. Good talking with you again. We'll talk again on Friday.
All right. Thanks for talking Billy Jewel with me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Wolfgang checking in with us twice weekly here on Jimmy B and TC. We'll take the time out. Back with more here on a moment on 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody. Our final segment is we get you already set up for Monday Night Football, Broncos and Chiefs. This is going to be a lot of fun this evening. The melodious tones of Mr. Mitch Holthus will be on the way shortly. Trent, where are you on this game? I'm still kind of going back and forth a little bit.
You know, I see a lot of people out there taking the Chiefs big. As bad as Denver has been the last couple of weeks offensively and how much they have struggled, I do expect a little bit of a bounce back, though. You go back, Kansas City has not been able to rush the passer very well lately, and if Simeon has a little bit of time, and that's been the problem the last couple of weeks, he hasn't been able to do that, I give him a shot. The spread's 7. I'm going to certainly grab the points and grab him for sure if it's at 7.5. But, you know, I think Denver at least keeps this thing interesting. It's very difficult to make big plays against Denver in the passing game, Tlaib and company in the secondary. So I think we're going to see 20-17, 23-19, something kind of ugly, low-ish scoring. I think the Broncos at least keep it close. How about you?
I'm kind of... It's difficult for me to get a read. Even though the Chiefs lost the game... They still found ways to score points, and I don't know what's going on with that so-called wonderful Denver defense. It just seems to me that they're getting beat deep, and we now know Alex Smith is not afraid to let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of go back and forth on it. I just can't seem to wrap my mind around. Like you said, you're expecting a Denver rebound. Well, you would think so. You wouldn't think that they could play that shabby offensively for 3 straight weeks. But maybe the film on him that coaches are looking at, maybe they found something, which is why he hasn't had much success the last couple of weeks, and Denver is lost. So. Maybe that's why I'm struggling with it. I just can't seem to you know, really kind of figure out which direction to go. I with you, if it's 7.5, I'd probably grab the points as well.
You're going to jump in the boat with me. Well, Jimmy B, after your performance, you don't have to follow me. You had another winning week, Jimmy B. 3-1-1 against the number. How are you doing this? What service are you subscribing to right now?
It's the Jimmy B service.
That's a losing service.
Yes, it is.
It's a losing service.
It is.
We've seen the Jimmy B service. It's been awful for years. How is suddenly this year you know how to do it?
I took a course.
Oh, really?
I took an online course.
You flew down to Florida and hung out with Lee Sterling for a weekend.
I hung out with Lee Sterling. And I'll tell you, I was really upset at Iowa. Because that landed right on the number at 7.
Right.
And once again, that cost me a 4-1 week. Man, they struggle to score. But we'll get into that all this week. I don't know what's going on here, Trent. I feel really good for the most part about my picks. I loved Dallas yesterday. I mm-hmm. told you that. And you had Dallas as well.
Yep.
We both liked Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Notre Dame. You liked NC State, but I love the Irish. I just think that all of a sudden they have hit their stride, and they're just going to pound some folks, and that's exactly what they did against NC State. So I don't know why I'm having this run, but it is unbelievable. And if you've been running with me, well, you probably have made an awful lot of money.
Nobody would be doing that. I think our listeners
right.
are way too smart to fall into that trap of following Jimmy B. Well, before we get out of here, Jim, I'm getting ready to go do a little trick-or-treating in this godforsaken, ridiculous notion that you go trick-or-treating in Des Moines.
Yeah.
The day before you're supposed to go trick-or-treating. What do they call this tonight? What is it even called? I forget.
Beggar's Night.
Beggar's Night.
Beggar's Night.
Have you been able to get to the bottom of the justification behind this ridiculous notion?
You know, I saw what it was, and I didn't even look it up because it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Trent, I'll never forget when I moved here, and I'm working across the street with Ken, and this came up, and I'm going, what? Beggar's Night? What? You mean you don't go out on Halloween? No, in Des Moines, you go out the night before. I've never heard of such a thing in my entire life, and I know it's a Des Moines thing.
Yeah, you tried to blame earlier when we were talking.
I did. I tried to blame it on the state.
You leave my great state of Iowa alone, but blame it on the people here that grew up in this town. There's also another pocket in Ohio that does it the same way. There's a couple of places like this, but not very many. It is weird. It is a tradition that only a few places have, and, we live in one of them. So I guess tonight Ella's going to put on her trolls outfit, and I'm going to go get some candy from some neighbors.
All right, go do your begging, pal.
Right.
You'll be good. You'll be very good at it.
Do you got a joke? Do you have a Halloween joke for us, Jimmy B? That seems like something right up your alley.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't. Look, I've been so far removed from Halloween. Let's see. What could I think of here real fast? I got nothing.
Yeah, you on your feet. We don't need to do that.
No, I got nothing.
Are you dressing up when you hit the town tonight?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow you'll be dressing up. What
yes.
is Jim Brinson going to be dressed as?
I'm going to go as Batman.
Batman? Well, yeah. Mini Batman.
It's
not
it's,
real.
It's like
Batman.
The Lego. It's the Lego Batman that I'm going
okay.
as.
Okay, you're more of a Robin kind of figure. You're not built to be Batman. Maybe Adam West Batman, but he's still way too tall for you too.
He is too. Yeah.
I can see you being the little Batman.
The little.
Do you fit in a kid's size costume? Is that right?
Everything at JCPenney's, I do my shopping in the kids' corner.
All right, get out of here. I gotta go trick or treating.
All right, have fun, pal.
We'll see you back at it tomorrow. Starting noon with the Ken Miller Show with Trent Connan, Jimmy B, and TC for 4 to 6, all here on 1700.